something about this episode is that I kind of hated it.
Can I tell you something too?
Yeah.
Me too. I'm kind of at the point where I'm ready for this show to be over.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too, dude.
Like, I don't care about any plot line. Like, I feel like the last thing I was waiting out on was Steriline, but they kind of already happened. So, like, now I'm like, okay, I don't really care anymore about anything else. Like, nothing is engaging at all. Like, I feel like I'm like, what's the word? I'm working my way through the mud. Like,
yeah, we're like, in the fucking muck and the mire right now.
Like, this shit sucks. Like, it's so boring.
This shit does suck. I agree, actually. I really do agree. I think Brian and I kind of hit on it last episode, but, like, man, what if season 6 of TVD was the last season? What a world we could have had.
We're ready. I'm ready to end it here. Like, let's end it with Elena getting the cure, and let's end it there. Because I don't, like, mind you, the cure, I forgot about that, and I don't even really care about that.
Exactly. The thing is, like, it's so, all of these plot lines are very forgettable, and it's like, sad. Like,
it's like nothing, not only is nothing piquing my interest, but also, like, none of these are interesting story. Like, these are also predictable. Like, who cares?
Yeah, it's just, man.
Even like the whole, oh no, now there's witches. They're vampires who can be witches. Like, okay.
Yeah, the heretics. Yeah, it's sort of just like, okay. It's an interesting addition to the magic system, but also it's very much like, this is a season 6 addition, you know?
Like you, it feels like they tacked it on there. It was like, hey.
They're like, Lily is really bad, but what if she had a whole powerful coven behind her? What if?
Right, and I'm like, okay. I feel like the problem kind of also lies in the fact, like, I don't care about Lily. Like, if prior to this season, more of the stuff, what's the name? I'm sorry, I'm so tired. What's their last name?
Salvatore.
And more of the Salvatore brothers' family and history was, like, brought up throughout the entire show, like, the framework of the show. And then at the end, it's like, oh my gosh, now we're finally meeting their mother, right? Like how they did with, what's the name? The Klaus and Karen, what's that name?
Klaus and what's Esther Michelson.
The Michelsons, like they did with the Michelsons, okay? Like they built up to that parental reveal real good.
Yeah, they did.
You were like, oh, This felt lazy. Like, no reference to their mother prior to this season. Like, I barely remember she even existed, other than the fact that earlier this season, Stefan talked about how she visited him at their funeral, which was random. And
then we had, like, the two episode lead up where Damon had a lot of mom angst. Like,
that's not enough. Like, you guys didn't build to this at all. Like even, like, their father had a better, like, build up and, like,
he was dead all the time. Yeah, it was so wild.
Like, but this is lazy. This is, I ran out of what to say, and here you go. Like,
yeah.
That's why I'm so, like, out of it. Like, I don't care. Like, who is this woman? Like, I've never seen her before this season. And I don't really care what she's about to do. Because, like, what threat does she pose to me and my livelihood? Like, I kind of just want the show to be over.
Yeah. And that's why we're definitely going to have to change the format of the show for season 7 and 8. Because they are not good. Like, here's the thing. Is I think the deep dives of each episode work really well when the episodes are good and interesting. And so, like, it'll work really well for the originals and for legacies because we're all just going to be having a ball on that bitch. It will not work for the last two seasons of TVD.
We might as well just, like, go, like, over episode arcs. I don't know. Like,
yeah, I think we might do it in, like, groups of four. And we might just do, like, four episodes per... or four TVD episodes per Afterbite episode, and just do a very like rundown sort of
like brief summary for people who want to see it, how it ended, how it really ended. But like, other than like that you know that guy on YouTube, Mike.
Yes, we'll do a Mike's really Mike style deep, like 3-hour deep dive into season 7 and 8.
I'm ready for this show to be over. Like, this is when this is at this point. I mean, earlier on, I think I would have tapped out.
Yeah, you've talked a lot about how you would have tapped out of TVD before this. But, and like, to be clear, I don't blame you.
But really right now, I would have been turning my TV off. Would have been like, okay, well, that was nice. Call me when the series finale happens and I'll watch that. And that'll be it.
Hey, hi, hello, everyone. My friend is named Paradise Fancastling. 10 years too late. This week, we are watching Season 6, Episode 19, Because. I'm B, joined by my co-host, Jordan. Say hi, Jordan.
Hi.
This episode, written by Melinda Sue Taylor, who writes good episodes usually. This one, not so good, Melinda. Also directed by Jeff Schatz. Now, I want to talk about Jeff Schatz for a second. Jeff Schatz, this was his first episode of TVD that he directed.
Mm-hmm.
He directed one episode in season 6, 7, and 8. He directed one episode in season 5 of The Originals, and he directed 4 episodes of Legacies. Now, let's talk about the episodes of The Originals and Legacies that Jeff directed. Because when I say this man made his career off of, like, directing the gay episodes of TVD, that's what I mean. He directed, you don't know any of the characters involved yet, but he directed the gay wedding episode of The Originals, which is one of my favorite episodes of The Originals. He also directed 2 episodes in season 1 of Legacies. Do you want to guess what they are? I'm going to tell you before you can guess. It was Mom Be Dearest and Let's Just Finish the Dance. Both two gigantic posy episodes.
Like, okay, Slayer. Like,
he slays a little bit. Here's the thing. I think he just got he's here for the gays, and I love that for him.
Oh my gosh, gay rights.
Gay rights. Thank you, Jeff Schatz. Truly, sir, you're doing the world a favor.
That's why this episode is so bad, by the way.
It's because he has to focus on a straight couple. That's why it's so bad, right? Actually, hold on. Oh my god, did we actually crack the code?
Yeah, that's why. It's because he's not comfortable writing straight people.
He's not comfortable directing straight people. If they're queer, he's got like, it. But if they're straight, right. Oh no. That's he's why like, his episodes of Legacies are so good, actually. Because nobody on Legacies is straight.
Right, exactly. You get it.
The IMDb description for this episode is: Stefan concocts a plan to get Caroline to turn her humanity back on. Damon wrestles what he should do with the cure. And Enzo seeks answers. Now, Damon's parts are the most boring parts of this episode.
Right.
I feel like Damon had been sort of, not like making a comeback, but he had been having some interesting storylines. We were not as on the Damon hate train as we usually are in most of season 6.
I agree.
We weren't like Damon stans, but we were watching and we were not openly hating. I'm back to openly hating. Right. I'm back to openly hating now.
Because like, not only is Delana even more in my face, but also you're reminding me why I don't like them together.
Exactly. Like, I feel like we've had other things to deal with than Delana. So they've been like passable. Because we haven't been reminded of how much and why we hate them. But right now...
And just to clarify, why do I hate Delana? Because it literally makes Elena's character worse.
It does. It so does. And
like, it's a hindrance on her character.
Last episode, she made a lot of things about her that were not like, girly, it's not all about you. And I feel like, similarly, this episode is Damon making a lot of things about Elena and, like, girl, it's not about her. You know?
Like, okay, so why are we revolving our decision on whether or not to give this heretic access to more heretics? On why are we revolving that around whether or not Elena should know or get the cure?
Like, come on.
Like, how important is that right now? Like, oh, like, if a whole bunch of heretics come out, we're all going to be in worse trouble than we are right now. But Elena needs to get the cure.
And I think Bonnie is the one who very much this episode is like, girl, we cannot let that happen. Like, I'm so sorry, but right. Like, no. Like,
the fact that she's right, but also the fact that she uses Elena against Damon in a way where, she uses that as his weakness to get him to do what she wants. But also, the things that she's pointing out is so, like, toxic.
Yeah. I just...
Like, it's insane to me. She's like, you don't want to let her go. So... let the cure burn or whatever. Who cares? But she's right. But also... It's, like, mind-boggling to me that she's able to wrap her head around the reason why... able to manipulate Damon in a way by using his toxicity against him. And, like, that's never going to be addressed. Like, his reasoning behind wanting to Elena to not get the cure. Like, it's never going to be addressed in a meaningful way where we question, oh, maybe that's a little overpossessive, or oh, maybe you shouldn't be deciding Elena's life for her.
It's just, yeah, I just hate Delana so much right now, more so than I have hated them previously.
Right.
Anyway, let's talk about what actually happens in this episode. So there's three main places that the action occurs this episode. It's sort of the B&B where Stefan and Caroline are locked up with Damon and Elena and also Alaric and Joe. And then the Mystic Grill with Lily and Enzo. That's sort of like all there is in this episode. So we're just going to kind of, we might not go through it in scene order, but we're going to go through it in sort of the more logical order here.
Yes.
So Stefan's whole plan to make Caroline believe that his humanity isn't off is he takes her to a bed and breakfast, and he's like trying to act all like smug and like saying that his mom was full of shit, which she is, but he doesn't know that she was. It's a whole thing. Basically, they plan to trap Caroline in the bed and breakfast with Stefan, and then drain Caroline, make her weak, and then overwhelm her with emotions. Elena has a letter that arrived from Caroline's mom after Caroline flipped her switch. So Liz Forbes wrote a letter to Caroline that she did not send until right before she was going to die, so that it would be delivered after her death. However, Caroline had already flipped her switch. So
what's crazy to me, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to get to this later on in the episode, but I just got to say it now while we're mentioning the letter. Why would you ever use the real letter in that situation?
Exactly. Literally, use the real envelope, sure. But why would you use the real letter? Come on.
I don't know. To me, that's like 101 stupid like decision to make, because you know she has her humanity off. You know that her immediately hearing that that's from her mom is not going to turn that on. So
yeah.
Why did you think that she was going to read it?
You all are like 200 years old. Are you telling me none of you know how to use a photocopier? Get your fucking shit together.
Right. Like, it's actually mind-boggling to me. That plot point really fucking annoyed me.
I'm like, why would you not do that as a kindness to your friend who you are trying to drag back from not having her meet? Like, come on. Come on.
Like, it felt like no one was using their brains this episode. Like, no one.
Nobody was. So, Stefan and Caroline's room at the B&B has been vampire-proofed. Damon arrives with like, Stefan calls for towels, saying that they'll eat anybody who shows up. Damon is the one who shows up with towels, and he shoots Caroline with vervain darts, and then he shoots Stefan also to stage the scene. When they wake up, Stefan tells Caroline that they got caught, their room's been vampire-proofed. There's that. Damon goes to Whitmore to talk to Bonnie and breaks the news about his mom. He's like, he tells her that he gave Lily the Ascendant, and Bonnie's like, okay, that's not my problem. And Damon's like, well, it's about to be. Sorry. And then he's like, by the way, I haven't told Elena about the cure yet. Don't talk too loud. And Bonnie's just like, are you fucking kidding me? You had two things to do and they have both become my problem now. Like, she's so real for being annoyed with him this episode.
Yeah, I would be too.
Elena drops by to torture Stefan and Caroline locked in their little rooms. And she gives Caroline the letter from her mom. But because they gave her the fucking original for whatever reason, Caroline insists that Stefan burn it. He goes along with it to preserve the illusion that his humanity is still off. And Elena just watches on in horror. Guys.
Like, I don't, like, there was, like, no one was thinking in this moment, okay? Number one, Stefan's not entirely wrong for burning it because, like,
he had a part to play.
He had a part to play. It's literally Elena's fault. You should have not put the actual letter in the envelope.
Literally, again, you can for sure use the original envelope. The original envelope is not the important thing here. The important thing here is the actual letter itself. Why? Why would you not? Like, come on, girl, come on.
Why would you not, even if you weren't thinking fully, right? Why would you not have some sort of safety measure put in place just in case something bad happens to that letter? Like, why? I don't know. I feel like that's common sense. Like,
it's buck wild.
Working with idiots.
Nobody has turned on their brains this morning in TVD land. Like, for sure. There's a whole Lily and Enzo at the Mystic Grill. We'll talk about that later because it's basically an entirely separate storyline from this. So, Elena and Damon are at the B&B right now, taking their sort of shift of guard duty. And Elena's reeling from the fact that Caroline burned the letter from her mom. And Damon is like, where would you be in 5 years if you were human? Bestie, can we not 5-year plan this out right now? Come on, my guy. Anyway, she says that she would be in a loft in Tribeca with Damon owning a bar and Elena working in a surgical residency program, and she does want two kids. And again, gang, guys, I cannot emphasize this enough. Adoption is an option. Like, can we be so for real right now?
Let's get serious.
Let's be so for real right now. If you want to help make a pair of siblings' lives better, you can adopt. Come on. Anyway, Caroline is like eavesdropping on them and she's so fed up with Delana and like so true queen. Me fucking too, bitch.
Like, you're not alone.
You're not alone.
Like, she's literally speaking for me.
And she's like, she tries to distract herself by making out with Stefan. Damon interrupts with all the crime scenes reports and he's like, what would your mom think of having to cover all of these crime scenes up? Like, that would suck for her. She wouldn't know the monster her daughter's turned into. And Caroline's like, yeah, what does it feel like to not be able to give Elena the life she wants, huh? Like, she is so evil. I am reminded this episode how much fun it is when Caroline is a bitch. Like, I miss her. I miss her. I
haven't seen her in a while, in a long, 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 long time.
Even when she had her humanity off, this is like very much bitchy Caroline.
Right.
You know? Like, no humanity Caroline and bitchy Caroline are two different people. They are closely, there's like they're a Venn diagram. There is some overlap, but bitchy Caroline is just so, chef's kiss. Love her.
Mm-hmm.
There's another long section at the Mystic Grill, but we are going to tell. We're going to do all of that later again. So Damon kind of, I don't know about you, Damon kind of like leads Elena to say that she'll never be 100% okay with being a vampire. Like, it feels, the way they have this back and forth feels kind of weird. Like, he's just trying to get her to say what he wants her to say. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes. It's just a weird conversation where it doesn't feel like Elena actually told him anything. It sounds like he just wanted Elena to hear what, or to say what he wanted to hear. Like, it was weird. Basically,
the entire dynamic feels like that, though.
Yeah, and it does feel, this episode especially, is bad.
That's why I kind of have to hate them a little bit. Because what do you mean in this relationship dynamic? Elena's not given any agency of her own. She's just following whatever Damon tells her to.
Yeah.
Like, that's so nasty to me. Like, at the core of it, that's a nasty dynamic to have with one another.
And like, I think
that's why
this...
I can never fully be for them.
Yeah. I'm never fully going to be shooting for Delana, and I'll admit that right here, right now. I also think it's one of the biggest changes that Elena goes through between season 3 and 4, because mm-hmm. I'm fully admitting I'm a Delana stan season 1 through 3. I'm an mm-hmm. Elena stan season 1 through 3, right? I love that girly. That's my girl right there. Season mm-hmm. 4 through 6, Elena, I kind of don't know her.
Like, who is that?
Like, we talked about it in season 4 a lot, even though season 4 is still, I think, the best season of TVD. It's the start of Elena not having agency in her own story and people just doing things for her. And it's really annoying. Whereas, like, I felt like she had more agency when she was actually a human.
Yeah.
And they did all the weird shit with, like, the sire bond that I think really made Delana just an uncomfortable ship, even if they like say that everything is fine now and she's making decisions of her own free will, whatever, et cetera, et cetera.
It just doesn't feel like that at all.
It just doesn't feel good. And I feel like a lot of, I could see a world in which I shipped Delana, but only if it was that toxic kind of relationship they had in seasons 1 through 3, you know? Like, I feel like uh-huh. once they actually got together, I'm like, oh, this is boring now, you know? I can get behind a good, messy, like, kind of toxic ship. I can get behind mm-hmm. that. All right? Listen. Mm-hmm. But these two right now, when they're talking about, like, 5-year plans and having kids or whatever, it's boring to me.
Like, I don't think they have that much chemistry either.
You know what? I feel like they're kind of losing that chemistry. I don't know as though they ever had a ton of chemistry, but they were fun at least. But yeah, right now I just uh-huh. can't see it.
Like, they just are so bland. Like, okay. They're bland. They have, like, their dynamic is toxic and, like, not in a fun way. And, like, Elena loses her agency throughout the relationship. Like, I'm sorry, that's not appealing to me at all. Like, that makes me want to be like, okay, if you want to go be some type of sheep for this guy, you can do that, but you can do that off my screen, not on my screen.
You can do that anywhere else, actually.
Right, but now while I'm watching, like, you can move somewhere else with that type of mindset. Because, I don't know, it's just like, especially as a woman, it's like, so disheartening. Like, what do you mean my entire personality changes when I start this relationship and I start to lose my will and my being be just because of this one person?
It very much feels like, even if they're not saying Delana is like an abusive relationship, it very much feels like they're trying to say that Delana is like an abusive relationship, because again, yeah, Elena does go through like a personality change.
Right.
And it's weird. And it's like, that doesn't,
but
like,
it's not
happen.
Even, but it's not even like they have, it's not like even they're saying anything about that, right? It's like, it feels like someone's writing them as a toxic relationship, but they don't recognize that they're writing them as a toxic relationship, and as an abusive one. So then you don't get any, like, commentary on that.
Yeah.
It's just like somebody's writing from their head and they're like, this is so good. And then everyone's looking at them like, do you not realize the implications of what you're writing right now?
It's just so, come on. Get it together. Writer's room, get it together.
Like, it's so bad. Like, I don't know. If you wanted to, like, I wouldn't even hate Delaina if they had something to say. Like,
if they were writing Delaina as an actual toxic relationship, I would be more on board with it than whatever this is. Like, right, do you know what I mean?
Because then you would be, like, getting to the consequences of that type of relationship. But there's no consequences with them. They just exist.
Yeah. It's just so weird. Get it together. Get it together. Be toxic or don't. Make up your mind.
Right. But don't act like everything's all okay and dandelions and a nice rainbow when it's not. It's not. Like, the fact that Elena near the end of the episode is like, I love you. I love you so much. So, like, of course I will give up wanting to become a human again. What?
Girl.
What? What are you talking about? You're gonna give up something that you want for this guy?
Come on.
And it's not even like he treats you right? Get out of here. Like, go do that somewhere else.
Back in the, like, B&B room, we have a fun little sequence that I love. Where, back in their room, Caroline figures out that Stefan turned his humanity back on because he won't return her, like, advances. Like, he won't kiss her while she's like this. And, yeah, so true, Queen. She's so smart for this, by the way.
I know, right?
She's like, why is your heart racing? You should feel nothing right now. Why is your heart racing? Like, she's so good. So she snaps his neck with her little cardigan, which I think is very fun. And then she just kicks the door down. And that's the moment where I was like, huh?
Huh?
Hmm? Anyway.
How'd that happen?
Caroline escapes out of the B&B. And she's in a car on the road, and we're going to skip over the scene that's in between this right now. But she gets pulled over by a police officer, and the police officer approaches the car with their gun out. And it is her mother.
Ooh.
Liz goes to arrest Caroline and lectures her about all of the killings, that all of the people she's murdered. She says, like, a long list of names. And Caroline realizes that it is not real. She wakes up back in the B&B room with Stefan putting visions in her head, and he's like very calmly urging her to let the emotions in. She's like appearing like she listens to him, and then she breaks a fucking window shutter and stabs him, and he grabs her and begs her to stop, and she's like, I kind of want you to die right now, actually. And so true, evil queen of my heart. And he shows her one last memory of him going to Liz for a sewing kit to repair the Caroline's teddy bear after they dug it up from the woods. That was a few episodes ago. And Liz very, like, bluntly tells him that she hopes he and Caroline end up together, which I think is very fun. She was shipping, and she's so real for that, actually.
She's just like me.
She's just like me for real.
Like, in that episode, I, too, was rooting for them. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, but I don't want to start something while Caroline is grieving. And Liz is like, might be a while, bud. And he's like, I'm a patient guy, which I think is so sweet. Yeah, so true.
Right.
Liz is apparently finishing writing her letter for Caroline, and he offers to, like, go mail it. And she's like, no, I'm still finishing it. I still don't quite know what I want to say. And the memory ends with Stefan walking out of the door, and you can see Caroline appearing in the memory, and she walks up and tries to, like, knock on the door, but her mom just disappears in the light down the end of the hall. And Candace Akla, girl, she is acting. The way her voice like breaks when she says mommy, I'm like, oh, so true. You're just a sad girl. You're just a sad girl. Caroline asks to see the letter, but Stefan points out that it's the letter she burned. And Caroline just breaks down. Just like in a ball in the corner of the room, just breaks down. Mm. Candace, we need to talk about this scene. Candace, we need to chat about this one, girl, because this was emotional terrorism to me particularly.
It was so heartbreaking, like.
It's so good. It's the best scene in this whole episode.
I agree.
Because we just spent like 30 minutes complaining about Delaina, but.
It like broke my heart.
This scene broke my fucking heart. So let's cut from there, shall we?
Yes.
Let's cut back to a little bit earlier in the episode at the Mystic Grill. Because Lily is going there to apparently meet with Bonnie Bennett. But Enzo shows up and he's just there to confront her. But she sort of is just like, why don't you grab a drink with me and like, let's just talk a little bit. So she tells Enzo about the night that she turned him, that she and her friends were captured by the Gemini Coven. This was a very sort of like heartbreaking realization for last episode, where Enzo really could have had a family with Lily and her heretics, but it was just sort of like by happenstance that was the exact day that they got caught. Like, it was really just like a bad day for Enzo. She reveals to Enzo that she is a Ripper and that she has a habit of tearing people's heads clean off their bodies, which is a habit that Stefan also shares when he's sort of in his Ripper mode. She tells him about her six friends who are still in the prison world and how Bonnie has offered to help to get them out. And Enzo and Lily head back to the Salvatore house. And Enzo is very sort of like smugly telling Lily that she shouldn't believe what Damon said about getting her friends back. Bonnie is sneaking around the Salvatore house after standing Lily up for lunch and finds the Ascendant and steals it right before they return. Enzo tries to explain that her real family is sort of like Damon and Stefan, and she's like, no, I need those six people to keep me from returning to my Ripper days. Yikes.
Right. It's like, it's so, what's the word I'm looking for? It's like crazy to me, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
How she has rejected her sons.
Yeah. Right?
She said, I don't know about that. We're not really that close anymore. It's been years. But then it's like fully embracing these group of heretics she created. You know what this reminds me of?
An allegory for homosexuality?
No, but we can come back.
Yeah, okay, what does it remind you of?
It reminds me of Klaus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how he was so hell-bent on creating, what's it called, hybrids?
Yeah, mm-hmm. A new family.
And, like, was willing to risk everything for that, including getting rid of his actual family for people who would actually stay loyal to him. Which is crazy when you think about it, because, like, for what reason, like, I get that she wants, what's the mom's name again?
Lily.
I get that Lily wants some type of loyalty. I don't know why she wants it, because again, they've yet to explain like her as a character. Like, we have like no backstory on her.
Here's sort of what I think that they're trying to imply here is that Lily was abandoned in the sanitarium by her husband and her children, even though her children had nothing to fucking do with it. It was all her husband's fault. And so she was turned there by a nurse, and then she found these heretics who accepted her, and she turned them all into vampires. And it was very much just like they're all sort of outcasts in society, I guess. But like, and
that is so she not found a new family. That is not as compelling as what Klaus was doing. TBH. Yeah,
exactly. And that's, I think, why Lily is a little bit less compelling than Klaus as a character.
Right.
As both like a parental figure, as like a matriarch, but also like just as a character in general.
Like, her motivations feel flimsy at best.
And they are.
Like, it just is so weird. Like, your sons did not do anything to you. Like, they were abandoned by you, and yet you continue to abandon them and form a new family. Like, I get after so many years, you kind of lost connection with them and you decided to start anew. But, like, you're kind of being given a second chance, right? Especially since they're now all vampires, right? So there's no...
They're all grown up.
They're all grown up. They're vampires. There's no reason for there to be, like, any, like... not necessarily negative feelings, but any like fear from her of like what she would do to them, or like I feel like at this point she should want to start over, right? Because again, she's also was talking about how when she was in the prison world, she had to learn how to restrain herself, and that was through the help of the heretics who were there, who offered their blood for her, right?
Yeah,
their rations to her. And I feel like after all that, like, what's the word I'm looking for? After all that revelation and all that working on the self while in the prison world, you would think she could come out and like start anew. Even if they're not with her, you're supposed to be a different person now, right?
Yeah.
So like, you would think she would, like, they could have done like a really cool metaphor to like, I don't know, people coming out who go into prison, and how our prison systems are not rehabilitation centers, but they should be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they could have done like a really cool story about her redeeming herself, right? And maybe she slipped up along the way, but like at the end of it could have been like a cool redemption arc they did with her character, right? Instead, they just decided to make her the evil bad guy who wants to stop at nothing to get back the heretics, but like, we don't really understand, like, there's no real motivation for her to do that.
Yeah.
Even if she does, like, she does credit them for helping her no longer be a ripper, like, you can't find that outside of the prison world too, through your children.
Also, like, it just feels very odd to me that she is completely discounting any sort of relationship with Stefan and Damon.
Especially Stefan, closer to Stefan.
And because he's a ripper too. Like, if you're gonna sort of go back and play on and give me a rehash of sort of the like alcoholism allegory that is Stefan's ripper storyline, why don't you make him a bigger part of it? Is that like, it's just, I remember vaguely.
They even had like Stefan had his humanity off for a second. He could have like gone like Ripper Wild or something, and she could have been like trying to help him pull back
while also struggling to pull up. Yeah, it's just like, so I do know that Stefan and Lily have more of like a relationship of some kind in season 7. I, to be very honest with you, don't remember that much of season 7, so I don't fucking remember it.
But like, I don't know, it just like such a waste.
And it feels
her right now.
Yes, it feels like her character is not really, doesn't really have a purpose beyond getting Stefan back. And it feels like these heretics are very much, it's just like, come on.
They're supposed to be the bad guys, the heretics, right?
Theoretically, yes.
So they were like, how do we get these heretics that like out? Like, she has to want to get them, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they could have gone about it in a more creative way. That made more sense.
Yeah.
They wanted the heretics to be the bad guys of the season. Like, you have Kai down there. Kai can't do some type of shit to get them out of there so that you could have her little moment too, instead of like having her be weirdly attached to these heretics while outside of the prison world. And like you would think she comes out of the prison world, she meets her children again, and you would think maybe like there could be a spark of like, oh, I'm a new person. Maybe I don't need those heretics anymore. I can, like, move on without them.
And then she fails, and that's when she starts her whole quest to get them back. Yeah, it's just there's so many other things that you could do.
But they were so lazy with it. Like, they were just... It just feels like they just didn't care anymore.
Yeah. Also, again, the heretics don't even get named this season. We don't know who the heretics are until season 7.
Wow.
I think. Yeah, we don't get their names at all. Like, they don't get cast. We don't get their names or their casting until season 7.
So they didn't even need to do all this until season 7.
They didn't even need to do all this! Yeah!
Like, oh, they're pissing me off. Like, annoying me. Like, it just really irks of being lazy. And not, like, it irks of, oh, well, the show is still on. We gotta continue. We gotta push through. Like, that's what it feels like. Like, I'm pushing through the rest of the season, and so were they.
Yeah, they're also kind of struggling with what to fill up the last, the last 4 episodes with, I guess. Okay, let's finish out this episode because we're so close to the end, and I just want to be done talking about this episode. Because I do kind of hate it. Damon finds Bonnie in the dorm at Whitmore about to destroy the Ascendant. He tells her that his mom has the cure, but Bonnie doesn't want to risk her life or any of their lives by letting the heretics out. And she's smart. And she also says that if he wanted to give Elena the cure, he would have fucking given it to her by now. Also smart. She really just drags this man for filth. So she dares him to take the Ascendant, knowing that it could mean a life without Elena. And he just walks away. So true.
Which also, can we just say that, like, oh, I forgot my train of thought. What was it? It was something about what Bonnie said. She said that, oh, life without Elena. I think it's so funny that the real reason he wanted to get the Ascendant was not because he wanted Elena to have the cure, right? It was because he didn't want Elena to find out about the cure being a possibility. And him letting it go and never telling her about it.
Mm-hmm. Which is like, what makes
his actual intentions.
Yeah, which is why that makes what happens next very funny to me.
Right. Like, he's a bad person.
Period. Yes. Correct.
Like, he's a bad person, period.
Yeah.
And the fact that Elena just lets that slide, like, she doesn't see that after whatever gets revealed at the end of this episode. She just, like, goes along with it.
Come on,
girl. Is what makes me so angry. Like, what are you doing? Like, are you not using your brain? Like, he just kept something from you. He kept a big secret from you, and you're acting like an idiot.
Damon goes to see Lily, and Lily tosses the cure box. The box that holds the cure in the fire when he doesn't bring the Ascendant, and she says that she's doing him a favor. Meanwhile, Elena finds like rose petals and candles scattered out on a table in, I assume, her and Damon's room, and also a ring box. But the ring box does not have a ring inside, actually. It has the cure. Lily tells Damon that the last thing she wants is for him to spend eternity with Elena, and she tells Elena that Damon was never going to give her the cure. Yikes. But also, like, so true, queen of causing drama. Here's the thing I do like about Lily. She is gonna cause a drama. She's gonna cause a little kerfuffle.
And she hates Elena as much as I do. So,
and she's so real for that. She's so real for that.
Like, she's a real one. Like, I see you, queen. I see you. See the flaws.
I see you, girl.
You're real.
You're so real. Back at the bed and breakfast, Joe is tending to Caroline, and Stefan thinks Caroline doesn't want to see him, but Joe is like, just go fucking check on her. And Caroline is beating herself up for everything she's done, and she isn't ready to talk, but she still, like, does want Stefan near her, I think, which I think is very sweet. Enzo arrives to meet Lily in the middle of the night, now. He sort of like feels, I think once he learned that she couldn't have gotten to him sooner and she really was caught in a prison world, he feels like a little bit, I think he's more ride or die for her. He's more loyal. Mm-hmm. And so he feels like appreciative that she saved him in 1903. And she tells Enzo, she has like some really interesting line about how like they make cars so quiet these days, which I think is really, I thought it was a weird line, but then I was like, no, yeah, old cars were loud as fuck. Like, girl, you only knew 1903 cars? Yeah, I bet those bitches were loud. She basically, the car was so quiet, so she accidentally walked in front of a car and the driver was mad at her, and then she was not able to resist tearing his fucking head off. And this driver's car is a bloody goddamn mess. And she's like, what have I done? And then you just look in the car and there is the headless body and just so much blood.
Love this scene simply for the fact that they like set it up really well.
Yeah. Like,
the camera is looking at her and she's just looking outwards. And she has this cloth in her hand, right? And Enzo ends up like walking around her, and you see that there's a little bit of blood on the cloth. And then she I don't know who moved the cloth. Someone moves the cloth, and then you see a whole bunch of splatter of blood by her neck, in her chest area. And then it pans over to the car full of blood. Like that was beautiful.
It was a really, really well done, like the way they like move the camera and like, mm-hmm. It's a very like smooth scene. They don't really like cut that much. It's very interesting.
And her acting there.
Her acting.
Great.
Her acting queen. Back at the Salvatore house, Elena realizes what Damon was like sort of getting at when he was asking her about her thoughts for 5 years from now. He confesses to Elena that he didn't stop his mother when she threatened to destroy the cure because he's, quote unquote, a selfish idiot who doesn't want to lose her. And, okay, whatever. Elena suggests that they give the cure to someone else. And Damon's like, no, you're going to take the cure. And so will I. And that's the end of this episode. And I still do not give a shit about Delana.
Right. Like, okay, who cares? Next.
Anyway, next. Like, it's just so... I just hate Delana so much.
Me too. Like, it really is just like a inner, like down to the bottom of my core. Like, I will always be a hater for Delana.
Yeah.
Like, they will never have me as a fan. Like, 10 years down the line, if they announced a reboot and they broke up, I'd be screaming my head. I'd be like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I do not like them at all. Like, and I never will, because they are one of the worst. They have one of the worst dynamics ever. They barely have any chemistry to me. And they're so boring.
They're so boring.
So, so boring. Like, every time I see them on my screen, I'm like, okay, let's move to the next plot point because I don't need to see this. Like, I could care less.
Yeah, it's just... Man, what a fucking bad show, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's such a shame because, like, in the beginning, it was fun.
Yeah.
Like, I was having a good time.
Like, we didn't rank the beginning highly, but, like, we were having a fun time watching it, you know?
Right. Like, now I'm like, what? How did we get here? And I think, like, I know there's a lot of people who hate on Riverdale, including me.
But at least Riverdale's still fun.
Right, like, I don't watch the new seasons because I don't think that's a show for me. I don't like to watch shows that are bad, even if it's bad intentionally. Like, that's not my cup of tea.
It's actually really fun, I'm not going to lie to you. The last season's pretty good. I'm sorry. I'm a Riverdale stan.
No, I get the appeal. It's just not for me. Like, I prefer, at least from right now, what I prefer watching is like very like either like very like cutesy romantic stuff or like very high intense dramas where like crazy batshit happens, but like not in the way that Riverdale happens, where it's like, what, this doesn't make any sense. Like wherein it's like yeah, plot twist, but plot twist that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's what I like to watch. So like it's just not my cup of tea. I get the appeal though. With the thing I was gonna say, Riverdale, at least like it came back around. Like it got lost in the middle there, and that's where they lost me, because what the show was initially promoted as is not what it eventually came out to be. You know what I mean? Like it was initially promoted as like a cute little slice of life mystery show that was kind of cheesy, but like it was funny a little bit. I think with at least that it came back around where it got so crazy that that's what you kind of expected, and then
yeah,
that was like the appeal of the show. With the Vampire Diaries, not only was I not expecting whatever, I didn't have any expectations for it going into it, because you know it was already, by the time I started watching it, it had already run its course, and it was kind of what it was like a classic CW show where it was like, you know, a teen drama.
Yeah, it's just,
but yeah, it just never came back around because they just got lazy, it got boring, it got stale. Like that's not how you run a show. You guys just ran it into the ground where it's like, okay, let's finish these, let's bang, we got two more seasons, let's try to just bang it out, I guess.
Yeah, like it's just very annoying.
It's like it's lazy work. It's not interesting. It's very boring and kind of tired. And, you know, maybe they needed to go a little batshit wild and like Riverdale.
Maybe they needed to go worse again. Yeah.
Because like, as long as, at least that's fun. So first of all, to watch, you know, at least that's fun. That's not fun. I feel like I'm being tortured.
Yeah.
Like just make it fun again. Like I don't like, and again it goes back to what we were saying, what we had said in the beginning, where like when we're, the Vampire Diaries was at its best when it was not taking itself seriously. Like they were like, we're a vampire show, it's not that serious. But now y'all are getting a little too serious and a little too boring. You're like, you're not like a medical drama, you know what I mean, where like this could get like intense and serious, but like in an interesting way, you know?
Yeah,
you're a vampire show, be a vampire show.
Like calm down, just be a vampire show, it's okay.
Like it's okay, no one's gonna judge you for being a vampire show. Like, but like get a little silly and a little fun sometimes. What happened to the funny goofs and gags? Even, like, the horror elements from the show is basically gone. Like, the reason why I really like the last ending scene is because... Or, like, even, like, the scene with...
Caroline and Stefan scaring the guy in the bar.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah. There was a scene with Matt later on in the episode where mm-hmm. it felt like something bad was gonna happen. Nothing bad actually ended up happening to him. But, like, you know, like, where, like, those little, like, horror spooky moments where you're like, oh, this is fun. What happened to this? Like, what happened to when this was a book of an episode?
Yeah.
It's just a shame because, like, they didn't have to go out with a dud. Like, they could have gone out with a banger.
It's just so sad. I wish this show was still good. I wish the last two seasons of the show did not exist.
I wish they ended it here. They were like, okay, well, Nina wants to leave, so we'll just end the season. We'll end the show here, you guys.
It's wild to me that they did not end the show when Nina left. Anyway, that's a conversation for next season for sure. But you know what we gotta do, girly?
What we gotta do?
We gotta rank this episode. Scale of 1 to 10. Yo,
yo, yo, yo, yo. Like... Mm. Prior to discussing this episode, I was indifferent. I was like, eh, it's all right. But now I'm like, oh, this is kind of the worst. Like,
We said that we were going to try and find something good about this episode, but I think both of us just came out the other side more hater than ever.
Like, I became more of a hater as we continued to discuss this. Like, so much Delina on my screen that I got annoyed.
Yeah.
So much lack of character motivation from Lily. I'm so confused by her storyline and her character as a whole.
So much
angst from Damon, but I don't give a fuck. And too little Stefan and Caroline, if I'm being honest. They were like, and even them at some point, I was like, okay. But like, they were like the star of the show for me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it like a 3.
You're gonna give it a 3?
Yeah.
That's the lowest ranking this season by far.
I like hated this episode the more we talked about it. Like that, and like now I'm annoyed. I'm pissed off and I'm annoyed. I'm giving it a 3. And like this really just like encapsulates everything I would hate about this show moving forward. So like a 3.
You know, here's the thing. Now that you're saying 3 and I'm thinking about it,
like why would I give it a 5? Like I've seen better 5. No, it's a 3. Like,
yeah, we did have better 5s last season, I think.
Like this is not no 5. This is a low number for me. For me, that's a 3. Like you're lucky I didn't say 1. Like cuz I feel like it's going to get worse. I
oh,
like
it will.
Get worse. Like I'm going to give it a 3.
Now I'm thinking about it and I'm like, how low do I want to go? How low do I want to go? I think I might give it a 4.
And yeah.
Because I looked back at like last season about episodes I gave 4s and 3s and stuff too. And I don't think this is as bad as
did
Rescue
I
Me.
Did I even give out that low of a score last season?
Yes, you did. You did it 2 times. Wait, actually last season.
Which one?
Dead Man on Campus and Rescue Me. And 500 Years of Solitude, actually.
See how I don't even remember what those episodes were about? So this is going to go in there. Actually, no, I think I will remember this episode because I remember how much I hated it. Like,
yeah, Wow.
But like, see how when you say those names, the only thing that rings a bell is Dead Man on Campus. I don't even remember what happened. I just remember that name.
Yeah.
Like that's how much I don't like this episode. Like,
and you know what, that's so fair. I'm also, yeah, I'm gonna give it a 4. I'm gonna give it you know, a little, just a little bit higher little. Because I do like some of the Steph and Caroline stuff, but whatever,
it's just they're the reason it's a 3 for me. Wouldn't be a 3 without them.
No, I think Delaina's what made it a 3. What made it a 3 for me, and then the way that Stefan and Caroline had their like really dramatic moments raise it up a full point.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. For me, it's like it would have been a 0, but like they brought it up to a 3.
Yeah.
Like past my, who cares about 1 to 10? This would have been a 0 without them. So they got them that 3.
Yeah.
That's how I view it. Because without them, this episode, it's on its last legs. Like, not even enough Bonnie could save this episode. Like,
yeah.
It was a mess. Bad decisions through and through. Like,
bad
everyone's
decisions
being
all
lazy. Like, I'm literally on the spot thinking about better plot lines that could have happened. Like, how is that happening? Me, a person who does not write TV, just consumes it.
Yeah. It's so... Yeah. And I hate to break it to you, next episode's not gonna be better.
Watch me get like, am I gonna have to raise the score because me like, oh well, that one was worse, so maybe I should just give this one a 4 and this, I don't know, we'll see.
What we do need to figure out before we talk about the next episode is we do need to talk about who the fuck our MVP is this week.
Let's give it to Caroline.
We're going to give it to Caroline. Her performance was good. And I think of anybody, she actually acted and did good this episode. Everybody
Wait,
else is sort of just found
in the end. Who actually acted this episode.
This puts Caroline, by the way, this MVP puts her in the front runner for MVP of the whole season.
Which makes sense because she's been killing it all season.
She has been killing it. The other people who are in the running, and I don't even know if they'll be able to get there, is Kai and Bonnie are also in the running. So two witches and a vampire walk into a bar. You have the beginning of an absolutely indecipherable joke. that's it for this episode of Afterbite. Next time on Afterbite, we are getting into the home stretch of season 6, baby. We are looking at season 6, episode 20, I'd Leave My Happy Home For You.
Let's get it. Let's finish this out.
Let's finish strong. It. You know, we only have 3 episodes left. We can do this.
We can do it.
Let's finish strong. Until then, you can find us on Twitter or Tumblr or Insta or whatever at Afterbite Pod. I really don't have anything else. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It would really help us out a lot. We'd love to know your thoughts. As always, you can put them down in the comment section below. There's sort of like a Q&A or whatever that I think you could just use as a comment section. Who gives a shit? Anyway, I'd Leave My Happy Home For You next week. That's it. Goodbye. Call your mom.
Bye.
Call your mom so she doesn't become a ripper like Elizabeth. You are the only thing standing between.